evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2, Tango, 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 and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Hey, nothing heard. That's a great thing. All right. Well, everybody, welcome aboard. It's been a couple of weeks since I've had the pleasure of running this net. I've been away a lot this summer, and I'm really looking forward to a really exciting net tonight. I want to thank Noel and 2OEL for running last week's net. That was really, really thoughtful of him. And other weeks, I guess we just didn't have a net. Having said that, this net is about having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the natural phenomena that supports and underlying science that supports our hobby, the applications of our hobby, what we do with it, our experiences, what things we aspire to do, things we like to do again, things we absolutely never want to do again, and the like. So we encourage you to bring your God-given gifts to the net and participate. Now, how do we check in? We check in with your call sign, your name, and we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, or none of the above. Now, you might ask, why do we want to check in for none of the above? Well, we can't figure out how to should we say, tailor the net to the audience if we don't know who the audience is. So please check in even if you did not, if you're not planning to make a comment or ask a question or have a for sale, swap, or wanted item. Okay, with no further ado, let's see if we go to the whiskeys. Any station with a whiskey, please call K2BAR.
Good evening. This is WA2UMP in Pearl River. And just listening this evening and testing out my brand new used ICOM 7000.
This is W2NPR. Hector, no questions or comments at this time.
This is W2JEK, Don, New Jersey. Nothing at this time.
Hey, alright, so, WU2S, I got you. Randy, are you having, do you have a question or a comment you said?
Just one comment.
Okay, and who is the station who came in with, Randy?
It's WI2LYP.
It's WI2. Well, LYP, Bill. What are your intentions, sir?
Just lurking about tonight, Gordon. Good evening. Good to hear you.
Good evening to Bill. Okay. So far, I show Jim, WA2UMP. I show Hector, W2MPR. I show Don, W2JEK. I show Randy, W2S, with a comment. And I show WI2LYP, Bill. Anybody else with a W?
Whiskey 2, Lima Charlie, November. The name is Rick. No questions or comments, and I will catch up with you about the bike ride later on during the week.
Okay, WLCN Rick, welcome aboard. Yeah, we can. We'll be talking about that from the top of the net anyway. But good hearing you. All right, any other whiskeys?
WA2.
Right, WA2 and all and the rest is all missing. Call sign and name, please.
WA2UBC, Bruce, no traffic.
Hey, good evening, Bruce. Good to hear you. That was much better. Anybody else with the whiskey? All right, how about the Kilo 2s?
Big Embassy, K2EIR, Howie in Tarrytown. None of the above.
Use some email.
Back to that. Hey, Howie, I got you. Jim, K2ZO, what was your intention? You doubled.
Okay, I had to comment on something I built, and I sent you an email showing the device.
Oh, excellent. Okay, KQZO with a comment. Good, Jim. Thank you. Any other Kilo 2?
K2ZC, Dave. No questions or comments.
K2ZC, guys, welcome aboard. And Kilo 2.
Okay.
Wow, that's a really weak signal. K2, and that's all I got. Suffix, please. K2, Golf Oscar Kilo. I'm winging it on that one. Is that it? Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not copying. I'm sorry. I'll come back to you. Any other Kilo 2s? Okay, any other Kilos?
Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Hi, one question. Good evening.
Kilo Charlie 2, TRW. Kai, welcome aboard. You, I'm sorry, KB2, TRW. Did you say you had a comment?
I have one question.
Question? Okay, good. That's your question. Very good comment. Get you in a minute. Any other kilos? Alrighty, how about the Novembers?
This is November 2, Victor Zulu X-ray, Charlie, just listening.
Good evening, Charlie. Very good. Any other kilo, any other Novembers? Last but not least, Alphas.
Alpha Charlie 2, Tango, Paul, Yonkers, New York.
UT, good evening, Charlie. I mean, good evening, Paul. Gotta be saying now. Very good. All right, well, that's excellent. Anybody else?
WA2QBC disconnected. Connected KD2DWS.
Okay. Any other Echo Link stations? We'll try that now.
KD2DWS. Irma, pleasantly.
EWS, Irma. Good to hear you. Good to hear you. Anything else I can, anybody else on Echo Link? Alrighty. Any other stations wishing to check in? Randy, you're going to be our first comment tonight. And before we get to you and all the other questions and comments and confusion, I'd like to just point out that hold on. Alrighty. Okay, sorry about that. Just had an interrogatory from a Bay County Sheriff's Officer. In preparation for a couple of things, we've got a very busy public service profile coming up. We have the Ramapo Rally on Sunday the 17th, which mostly requires work for people, riding bikes from Camp Gall Reservation and back on six different routes. And it's a Sunday morning event into the afternoon. Looking for people who can operate as SAG operators for that. We're kind of scaling down our operation there beyond SAGs and net control, which is pretty intense too. Net control includes also a telephone operation to take in the calls from various folks who are in need on the route. In addition, we have 4 days of the Passaic County Fair, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 14, 15, 16, 17. Yes, it's overlapping. And we're going to need a lot of help in there. And among them, some IT support, setting up stuff on Wednesday. And then, of course, just to make things more exciting, we need to set up some mesh gear with some cameras for the 4 days. That's going to be interesting, too. We're working the security issues with that with the Sheriff's Department. But we are going to be playing that game. So any and all of us who have mesh gear and or cameras are very much going to be in demand if you're available during any and all of those dates. So with no further ado, I'll just throw that out there and for either or both of those events. And I'll throw it over to W2S from K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. Good evening to everyone on the net. I've been busy, as you all know, with a number of projects lately, so I just wanted to comment quickly on the one I completed, and that's to make a power pole-based DC distribution bus. The construction article, as well as pictures, are posted on my website, WhiskeyUniform2Sierra.com, and they're also posted on the ComTech group, the Yahoo group website. Both places contain the same information, so you should have enough there to build a useful and expensive device for yourself. And of course, as always, if you have any questions or comments on it, I'm here to take those questions and assist you if needed. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
Very nice. Yeah, the that power distribution thing is very cool. I didn't have a chance to look at the pictures yet, but I did read the write-up, and it's very nice, Randy. It really is. Alrighty. Let's see. So, let's see. Who is, anybody want to comment on this to Randy?
K2BAR, this is W2MCN. Comment for Randy. I think I got it, so I'm just going to go with this one. Randy, I'll have to show you one of the boxes I did, kind of picked your brain on a few things. I put them in a walnut case with some of those displays, and it sounds like it's something that you had done, and I see you did some work without the rig runner in there. So the next time we get a chance to catch up, I'll have to bring that over and you know, pick some ideas off you about maybe getting a fuse put on the batteries and whatnot. But I got to say, it's been very handy so far, and I'm sure you're doing some pretty good things. I didn't see the pictures yet, but I will be looking for them. K2BAR, W2FN.
Very good. Very good. Randy, do you want to add any comments to that?
No, I've got nothing more for that. Just a heads up, the next project I'm working on is a means of attaching the remote cable to the head for an IC7000 without cutting the cutting the cable or getting into trying to solder all kinds of little fine wires together. And I built a prototype for this, and over the next week or two, I'll be doing more detailed drawings and precision cutting a number of plastic pieces for this rather than the sort of hacked apart prototype I did. But so it'll be a few weeks on that, but look for that as the next major project.
Well, that's going to be a very attractive project for a whole lot of people. Very good. All right, very good. Anybody else for Randy's little project article or articles? All righty. Well, that's very good. Thank you, Randy. And, Rick, that's a good point about your boxes, too. All righty. Our next comment is, I think, K2ZO. K2ZO, over to you, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Okay. Yeah, I've just been experimenting and building a couple of little 9-to-1 balance, not balance, but transformers. Use with a long wire antenna. Basically, the thing is a powdered iron core with a trifilar winding, and the windings are in series, and the 50 ohm coax comes in at 1/3. So it steps it up 9 times. The idea is that you can put a long wire on there, and if you've got enough coax feeding it, that's enough to provide a counterpoise, or you can put a counterpoise on it. And I did send you a picture of it, and a little description there of it, Gordon, and also a schematic showing how it's put together. That one that I sent you has got a T200 core, but that's a little overkill for what you really need with a 100-watt radio. So I built another one that I haven't finished yet, but I'll send you pictures of that when I finish it up, which is just on a piece of plexiglass, Lexan, rather than putting it in a box, just for portable operation. But anyway, it works fine. There's a number of different lengths of wire that work with it. So it's a nice, portable, little throw-it-up-and-operate type antenna. Back to that, K2ZO.
You know, it's funny. I would love to know your experience after a time with after using this with an equivalent OCS. And the reason why I'm asking that, for mentioning it, is because I had one of those that was set up for like 40 and above, and it was okay. But when I built those CFs or even conventional dipoles for a given band in the same basic, you know, elevation, et cetera, I found it to be, you know, vastly superior. I mean, and it makes sense that the dipole would be, but the OCF was an unbelievably better antenna, I thought. But, you know, everything else, it's like anything else, it's a compromise on installation versus, you know, versus performance, right? So, your thoughts would be interesting to me. Over.
The off-center fed dipole meeting pretty much every time, but that's a different type antenna. This is just a wire thrown up in a portable type situation or something like that, where all you need is really one support, and then you can dangle the wire down at an angle. When tried against the off-center fed dipole, the off-center fed dipole did beat it. But again, it was up higher, and it's longer, and it's got a better match. So, but again, that's not what this thing is supposed to be. A super permanent antenna that you'd put up at your QTH. This is something that you'd drive to a location, throw a wire up in a tree, and operate, you know, back to that.
Yeah. But I guess my point is I've been starting to use OCFs for that because they're just, like a 40-meter OCF is just very compact and not so bad. What I found myself doing in a couple of cases, I'm trying to remember what the length was, it might have been, let's say, a 33-foot piece of wire, a 35-foot piece of wire, just, you know, something I had spare. I attached that as a radial to the radio that had the 9-to-1 Balun, you know, pre-made, you know, works on 40 meters thing. And I literally tied it to the radio on the other end of a coax from where the actual radiating wire was, and magically my performance improved a lot. So there's something to be said for that too. You can make those throw a wire up in the tree antennas work a little bit better if you're also willing to throw a wire on the ground, is my point.
Yeah, that's true. That'll work. However, if you beat it with about 50 feet of RG8X, that'll be sufficient to provide a counterpoise. You'd be surprised at how well it does work. But anyway, I was running mine with 53 feet of wire on it, and just 50 foot of RG8X, had it only up about 20 feet, and I was getting great reports on 20 and 40. Again, they're not going to be as good as my beam and my other big antenna, but for what I was doing, they would certainly work out for a portable operation.
A2EIR with a question.
Go ahead, Howie.
Okay, Jim, how high was the coax? I mean, I know I can picture the wire coming off a tree at an angle. Is the coax on the ground, or is it elevated some? Because I think that makes a difference if you're saying you're using the coax as, in effect, as the counterpoise.
Okay, what I did is I popped a wire up in a tree about 30 feet up there and hoisted this thing up. Feeding it, I had like 50 feet of coax, so 20 feet of it was laying on the ground, and the wire, which is 53 foot long, was coming down from that and going over to a tree which was about 8 feet high, and surprisingly it worked quite well, and that's the way I was testing it. If you want a picture of it, I sent a picture to Gordon, or if you want, just email me at k2zo@arrl, and I'll send you the picture of the one that I built, so you can see it and the schematic. Okay.
Just an interjection here. I'll be forwarding it on to the Comtech group.
Hey, this is K2 EK2VIR. Yeah, I'll wait for that. The reason I'm asking is one of our local fellows here, NY9A, has been dabbling, wants to figure out how to get an antenna up, and we've been talking about getting one in a tree, and I've been thinking that for stealth, what he should do is actually bury the coax to the tree about 25 or 30 feet away and just run a vertical wire up. And he can use the 9-to-1 Allen on the ground. He's willing to take his chances there. I'm figuring we could put it in a little box. My own preference is you don't put a box out there. Nothing of value. Wire is cheap. Performance is the whole thing. I don't think, for us, transmitting is a problem. We can get by with wires on our deck or indoors even. The problem is received noise, and I told them to, you know, just try a received antenna, but that seems to save a lot of people. They can't figure out how to do, if the rig doesn't have provision, they can't figure out how to do the TR switching, and that's why I'm asking, because I'm thinking that if you have to use it for both transmitting and receive, what's the performance like when you do it at the vertical with the ballon on the ground and the coax either on the ground or buried?
A lot of people have operated it that way. It seems to work doing it in that exact way, but what they've done is put down some radials and then just run the wire up, straight up in a tree or up at an angle. I got started on this project because I needed to build an antenna for a friend of mine who's in an apartment house. And what we're going to do there is we're going to just go out with a fiberglass rod and dangle the wire down and use the 9-to-1 right at the window and use the air conditioner and the fact that it's grounded as the counterpoise.
Okay, and the fiberglass rod is going to run vertically down or vertically up?
Horizontal out, and then the wire drops down. It's up the 6-7 floors. And just a wire with a little piece of a clay ball at the end of it, just to hold it down there. The fiberglass rod holds it out from the building.
Oh, so it's sort of like an L.
You know, 6 foot on one, you know, 6 foot out and 30 feet down.
Right, but you may want to add a counterpoise in the apartment.
That's why we're going over to the air conditioner, which is grounded, which is right nearby, so we'll just go on to it. Take a look at the picture of the one that I built, and you can see where the ground connection is.
I got you. I find that sometimes the air conditioners don't have, provide as much of a ground as you might think, but hell's bells, try it.
Let me interject one more comment here. I want to thank you, Jim, for so many times talking about these antennas and balance. You motivated me to, a little while ago, I put up a off-center set 20 meter and up antenna with an LDG 4-to-1 balance and got a reasonable match on most bands with higher on 10. I forgot to try it on 6. But I've made contacts with it, and I like it, and I have a nice idea. Those people who've gone to my webpage know about my 40-meter shortened dipole, which is based on an article in Swift. And I was thinking, why don't I put... by the way, the off-center fed dipole, I used 21 feet on one side and 12 feet on the other. And I didn't experiment. I just tried that. You know, so that's... it could be improved, possibly. But I figure I could put that next to the 40-meter dipole, which is balanced, and your center fed 21 feet on one side and the 12 feet on the other in that sort of rapid ears V that I have at the page. And maybe I could do two antennas on the same structure with two different balance, maybe some sort of antenna switch, and then I could do 40 through 10 with... one antenna structure when I go portable. So that's my latest idea, untried. But I want to thank you, Jim, because the incentives as well as information. K2EIR.
Okay, well, that sounds like a great idea. And, of course, we on Portable Day have used a 40-meter off-center fed, and we've operated it from 6 meters to 40 meters. And, of course, during the day, it's 80 is dead, so we didn't really do it on air. And worked all kinds of DX with it.
Feet of fiberglass on each side. I couldn't do a real off-center fit 40-meter antenna, but I can still use the 40-meter Torton dipole, and I can use the off-center fit 20 meters and up, as I say, with 21 feet on one side and 12 on the other, and I can easily fit both on the same fiberglass rods, elevated in the same mass. I don't know what the interaction will be, but one day I will find out.
Yeah, it may cause something, but I'm sure it'll work fine.
Good. K2EIR.
There was another station trying to break in with a comment. Who was that?
W2APP.
Go ahead, Mr. Paul.
Yeah, Jim, I told you I was doing NFED with the 9-1. One of the things I did do was my enclosure, I found these nice little electrical boxes up in Lowe's. They're PVC half-inch T-boxes. They're about an inch wide. But the nice thing for those, if you're putting these out the pipe, would be that you could basically run the coax or the line straight up the inside of the pipe, and it basically just goes in into the T, and then you can drop out the other end. I think I'll send you a picture of them. If you find them, they're only like about $2 or so. Really, really cute, really useful, and you know, that's the way I was heading. W2APP, back to K2BR.
Good, Jeff.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I'd like to see that. I actually took this one that I'm doing now in a smaller core, a T1.3-inch core, good for about 200 watts. And I actually put it on a piece of Lexan. I put an L bracket where I put the 239 connector, a little piece of aluminum. And laced everything right to this little piece of plexiglass, drilled a hole so we can hang it up, and the plexiglass Lexan, and that's it. Things out in the open air, but it's a portable type thing. You don't care.
Okay. Anything else on this one? All right, Jim. Well, thank you very much. That's a really interesting dialogue on a really cool little antenna. And they do work. They work well. So, 1.3-inch core, you put it in a, I guess you probably put it in a 2-inch square box. If you needed to put it in a box, you'd pot it right on top of the piece of plexiglass you've mounted on, and push it 100 watts, maybe even 200 watts without too much trouble. That's pretty neat and nifty. Alrighty. Anything else, Jim?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, Doc. Very good. Alright, Kai, you had a question. KB2TRW W2TTTWK2BAR. Sorry.
No problem. My question is whether there will be a hamfest at Bergenfield this year? Back to that.
There will, but it will be only in December. It'll be the first or second week in December. Unfortunately, the way the schedules ran for everybody's availability to run it, it was not possible to run one in August. The next local hamfest will be on the 22nd, 23rd, I can't remember which, of August, and it will be at Camp Baratan. It's the Rampo Mountain Amateur Radio Club Hempfest. So we look forward to seeing everybody up there.
AC2GI disconnected.
I don't know if anybody has any other additional topics they'd like to bring up or whatever, but boy, it's been a lively net already with lots of things going on. So much for the quiet of August. Oh, I have a question. What's the date for the Barra picnic?
Sunday the 10th of August at Pascack Brook Park.
Outstanding. Okay. We will see you
there. That's a Sunday, so we should see you there. My wife says maybe, but we'll be back from Indiana by then. So that's excellent. Do we need to let anybody know, Jim? I missed the last couple of meetings.
Oh, but if you're going to bring anything, you should send an email to Ginny. No big deal. But if you know, it's going to be there'll be some food supplied, and then of course the rest of the stuff for people are going to bring along. So if you're going to bring along anything, you know, pass that information along.
Roger that. Okay, very good. I'm really excited about the date. I'm very excited. Past Jack Brook Park and the time.
Well, we have the place from 10 to 6, but we'll probably be showing up around 11, 11:30 to get things going, and by noontime we should be able to, between 12 and 1, we should be able to have lunch.
Excellent. All right. You know, we'll be coming back from Indiana probably Friday night, be my guess. So we'll be looking forward to that. Excellent. All right. Anything else for the net?
Comment,
go, Dave.
K2BAR, this is K2ZC. Gordon, you can pencil me in for the Ramapo rally. I plan on doing the 50-mile ride, so I'll carry an HT, so I have a little on-the-road communications there. Be much of a sag wagon, but if I see any mishaps on the road, I can let you know.
Very appreciated. Thank you very much, Dave. All right, very good. Whoops, I got a little feedback here. Sorry about that. All right. Anybody else with comments for that?
WCATP?
Mr. Paul.
Yeah, I've got a quick question. I don't know if Noel and to the OAL is on. He might actually be able to answer it. I bought a solar charger, 100-watt solar panel with a charge controller to charge the battery on my pop-up camper. My question is on mounting it, and I wonder if anyone has any ideas on a quick mount, quick release. I don't really want the panel on when I'm actually towing the camper, and really when it's in storage as well. I just sort of want something that I can actually, once I get to the campsite, basically clip the panel to the roof, raise the roof, and then let it go when I bring it back down and then take it off again. I don't want to have to get into basically screwdrivers taking stuff out. I just wonder, is there any quick release latches that would be useful? If anyone has any ideas, K2BR from W2AQP.
So you want a mechanical quick release or an electrical quick release?
Mechanical release for the actual panel, for the actual panel mount.
I pin it use, like a cotter pin on a retaining string, a retaining cord. That's what I would use.
Okay, I'll start heading down that way. Cotter pins, yeah. Yeah, if they were screw in, something, drop in, slot back, and then lock off. Yeah, okay, I'll start thinking along those lines.
Did you, JK? Don, before you go, there's also another thought. They have those C-clips. You've probably seen them. They're like a pivot on a pin. And drop the pin through something, and then the bottom part just clips in. It swings in and clips in. You've probably seen those as well. You get those at any decent hardware store. Some of the better Lowe's and Home Depot's. Go ahead, Don.
As in the police reserves, we needed to mount some equipment in our vehicle, our fire extinguisher, and first aid kit and oxygen kit. The thing they stole the fire trucks using, they call them boomer straps, and it's a web strap. None of the degen into the whatever you're going to do it. It's like a latch, a bolt buckle kind of a thing, and touch on it, and it automatically opens up a thing. In other words, if you want to get a first aid kit out of your vehicle in a hurry, you just flip the latch on this thing, and it comes all up now. And with these things, if you're driving around, they'll have the only problem. They can can see. The rest does do is stuff like that, and that'll give you food for thought anyway. Back to that, W2JK.
2EIR.
Go ahead, Howie, is that you, Don?
You know, it's been my experience that photovoltaic panels are not terribly light. And the ones I have are boarded with either aluminum or, some that I purchased came with definitely steel frames to mount them on. And it seems to me if I would take the panel, since there are some screw holes on that, and mount it to some more aluminum, I'd rather have aluminum that's lightweight, and then I would look to put some sort of bolt through it that would go to another mounting set of hardware where you could put wing nuts. So what I have in mind is wherever you're going to mount the panel, it has the lower frame, while the actual panel has just a simple aluminum frame around it with the bolts, and you just drop it down on the second frame, which is presumably securely mounted with your pop-up tent, and just attach wing nuts. But maybe all that metal was just too much, but I think that way it would be secure and hold the weight. That's my conception. Never tried it. K2EIR.
The only thing I don't like about that, Howie, is the notion of losing parts. You know, you're in the field. You don't have time for this nonsense to lose it. Let me just also, just quickly to summarize it. You might just want to just take something that has a tethered retainer. Whatever you pick, make sure it's tethered so you don't lose it. So, back to you, Paul.
Yeah, the strap overs, I don't really want to go down that link. With the wing nuts, I sort of don't want to get into wing nuts just because of the fact that, you know, you got your fingers in underneath, tightening them up, and, you know, it's just a bit fiddly considering the amount of clearance between, you know, like the bottom of the wing nut and the actual roof. I would like something that just sort of, you know, slides in and clicks. Even if it is a case of it just goes forward, you drop a pin in, put a, you know, C-clip on it, and, you know, it won't move. But, yeah, definitely some ideas to move forward with, and whatever I come up with, I'll share. With that, I'll send it back.
Now, the C-clip is probably your best bet, but just find a way to do a retainer or plan on leaving it in place. Panel's not there. In other words, make a bracket that's going to customize the C-clip through. When you're done, either take the C-clip and put it on the panel that you store or leave it on the bracket that the panel is made into. You don't need a whole lot. I mean, you know, you just want to make sure it doesn't fly away in the wind or something. So, you know, you could do one at the top and one at the bottom on diagonal corners. You don't need a lot just to make it easy. In fact, you could have on the same corner if the wind wasn't too horrendous. Anyway, all good. Either way, all good. Anybody else? All right, anybody else with a new topic? Alrighty. Well, I want to thank everybody for a somewhat short but still very interesting techno tonight. I hope if you can volunteer for the Passaic County Fair or for the Ravlo Rally, or both, if you're glutton for punishment, please do so. Randy, we're going to definitely need to talk about some mesh gear for the Ravlo Rally, but for the fair. Details to follow, but we're definitely going to need some help here. Your thoughts and inspiration is definitely going to be important. All right, everybody, take care and God bless. This is K2BAR. Thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater and looking forward to seeing some of you guys on the 10th at the Barra picnic. I will not be at the Barra meeting on Sunday. It's Sunday, by the way. It's at 7:30 at Washington Township Municipal Building. At 7:30 is the meeting, but they gather about 7. I'll be out of town for that, but looking forward to seeing you guys over the coming weeks on various things. So take care and Godspeed. This is K2BAR WT2TTT off and clear. Night night.
Paul, are you still there? K2BAR.
K2AR or WCAPP?
Yeah, I had another brainstorm again. I'm not very familiar with, you know, I haven't done very much with tools, metal, whatever. But I've done a few little things for myself. Here's another brainstorm. Don't know how worthwhile it is. But what if you put some Lex and strips attached? I assume your PV panels have some sort of frame. Again, mine have an aluminum frame. Probably are a few little holes around that you could put a screw, or you could probably drill if you're careful. So what if you put Lex and strips around that maybe an inch, 2 inches wide? So it's not very wide. They don't have to be very thick, just enough to make sure they can really hold the weight. And then you attach a Velcro with a good adhesive to the underside, the opposite side that's live to the panel, to the Lexan. And then wherever you're putting this on the roof will also have well adhesive strips of Velcro. The only problem, you know, it would pop on and pop off. It might take a little strength to remove. And I assume you would angle it. So the other thing I would suggest you do, but you don't want to make the Velcro too strong, you have some sort of footer plate so that whatever angle it's coming down, the base of the panel, the bottom edge, rests on that footer, which would have to be attached with hardware to make sure it really could support the weight. Can you picture what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can. The only thing, you know, Velcro sounds nice. The only thing is, you know, I do have to be very wary of the wind lifting it. Some of the places I camped with, you know, like 2 years ago, I was out in the middle of Lake Erie. The storm came through and literally took my very heavy, you know, camper pop-up, which was like full, you know, heavy-duty aluminum. Basically, you just ripped it out of the ground and sent it careening across the campsite. Whatever I do put in has to be basically will not lift under with any wind load whatsoever. So, Velcro with the strap over probably could. I don't really want to go for strap over. I'd rather just try and get something that I could just literally just drop and click. Something like, not quite a carriage bolt, but, something that just basically put it in, tilt it down, lock it in. I think it only has to go horizontal. It doesn't really have to tilt, because all it's really going to be doing is just topping up a marine battery just to give it some, you know, a few hours of light needs. But definitely I've got some good ideas. Like I said, I'll do a bit more research and let's see what I come up with. K2AR or W2APP.
Okay, I think I'm going to go join my family. I ought to go to sleep. Anyway, good net. Good hearing you on again. Good luck with that. And I'll 73 W2ATT, right? This is K2EIR.
Thanks, Harry. It's W2 Alpha Papa Papa, and I'm just about to log back into work for second shift. I'll say 73 back.
I stand corrected. W2ATT, K2EIR, closing station.
KD2DWS disconnected.
KD2DOA, Long Island, New York, standing by.
W2TTT.
W2LCN. What's going on, Gordon? Welcome back. Good, you had a good trip out there. Sounds like you were busy. I heard about the scouts contacts from up north to Georgia, if I was right.
Yeah, but I'm out the door tomorrow to Indiana. It's like out in heaven, it's like I'm never really home. But that's the last of it. This is what I signed up for this summer. Just really, really busy. The answer to your question is, by the way, I owe you a phone call, too. The answer to the question is, no, we have not gotten together, and yes, I need to get that done.
That's funny, because I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, a couple of weeks ago, and I said, oh my God, we haven't touched base. And I realized that, and I said, I got to write this down or something. And that's, I tried to remember to call you the next day, and it went like 3 days, and I was like, I don't think I've seen you since then. But, no, that's good. As long as you know it, because I'll probably forget by the time we see each other again. But no worries. I wanted to remember rather than forget about it. But other than that, no worries. So what are you doing out in Indiana now?
Jeremy has a national level, actually it's U.S. and Canada, tournament called State Wars, and he's in New Jersey in the 1996 bracket.
Very cool. That's good. Good for him. That's going to be pretty cool. That's definitely neat stuff. We just got back from out in Pennsylvania. We just hanged out there. We did the ARL Teachers Institute, which I got to show you. There's some pretty cool stuff I got. I'll have to go through. And I'm in the process of doing that DEX training, but it's using that WebEx Cisco system, and it's good, but it's really not a training session. It's more like somebody's on a video and talking you live through the steps, but they're not interactive. They've shut down all the preferences that give you any access to questions. So instead of kind of dragging myself through it, I have them recording the conversations. I'm going to go back and watch it all later and sit down when I have time.
You can pause it though, right?
Yeah, but during the live session, we have a shutdown. So when you first log in, and nobody told us any of this stuff until the second day, that everyone's muted. So everybody's trying to fix our computer seems muted on our end. Nobody said anything. The day before we could do it, then they changed things. But I can watch things. And then they pick and choose the questions they want to answer. So you have to watch what's going on. And sometimes they don't come back to your question. Sometimes they will answer a different question, and then they abruptly end. It's a very formatted thing that they're doing, and it's not the best I've seen. It's not very helpful, so it's almost easier going back and just watching the video and doing the work on my own.
Isn't that crazy? Can you stand by when I have to drop off a piece of coax, for which I'll explain to somebody who's bringing it to a camp, but I'll explain in a moment. You going to be here for a couple minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
W2LCN, W2TTT.
2TTT, right back. 82DOA, Long Island, New York, standing by. Okay, KD2DOA, nothing heard. Moving on, gentlemen. Have a good night.
Take care, DOA. I'm sorry, I'm just doing some things on the side here. We'll catch up shortly. The TechNet always meets on Thursday. It's a pretty good group. I'm just trying to catch up on some loose ends. Seems like everybody's busy with something like that. I think it was K2DOA, this is W2LCN.
Okay, roger that. I think it was W2LPN. Actually, our TechNet over here is continues to get canceled because there are some undesirables that keep jamming the frequency. And we are fortunate enough to have Dick over here. I forgot his call. A very smart man. And weeks in a row it's been canceled because of some undesirables. So Kilo Delta 2, Delta Oscar Alpha, I'm going to throw it back to you. I'm not sure what your QTH is, but I am in Deer Park, Long Island.
That is pretty cool. We have friends out in Deer Park, the Nolans, they're on the fire department over there. And, yeah, that's good stuff. I'm out in Bloomingdale, but, Bloomingdale, New Jersey. It's a shame, but you know what? Sometimes you can take advantage of it when somebody's doing that. I think we like to listen and try and figure out who's got the stronger position and try and find out who those guys are, but there are a few that are over that way that like to jump in and disrupt things. But, we'll figure it out.
Now, eventually you'll be reading about them in QST and a big fine. So it'll all work out in the end. But I'll let you get back to what you're doing there, and I'll be here on the side and heading to bed shortly. 73 for now, and I'll talk to you shortly.
Okay, my friend in New Jersey. Yeah, you have a good night. Get yourself a good night's sleep, and you feel good for tomorrow. That's what's going on over here with our TechNet. So I'm going to bid you 73s and 82 DOA, and I'm going to be clear.
W12TN, W2TTT.
Hey, Gordon, go ahead. I was over here just looking at some stuff. Yeah, it's been pretty busy. We've had a pretty good summer, but a lot of running around.
Oh my God, it's a wonderful summer. And August does not promise to be any easier. Although, let's see, we'll get home Friday night. Saturday will be a unpack, decompress, do laundry, catch up on domestic matters kind of day. Sunday is the Barra picnic. That's the 10th. Monday back to work. Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday I'm working. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday I'm probably not working full days. I'm probably only working on those days. Mornings to early afternoon, maybe 1 o'clock. And that's because of the fair. Fair starts Thursday, but we're going to be doing IT work galore on Wednesday. Get everything set up. There's a number of cameras. There's a number of Wi-Fi things that have to be dealt with, or mesh things that have to be dealt with, apart from Wi-Fi. It goes on and on and on. You know, I got the rundown as to what this year's edition of the Bay County Fair is going to look like. It is unlike anything they've ever done.
Well, I will do my best to help out. I don't quite know exactly what my schedule is. The training we were doing for this VEX stuff is like a priority now. It was supposed to be 2 hours, and it turns out it's like a full 8-hour day. They have a 2-hour meeting, and I have to get this thing taken care of, but I'm hopeful I'll be able to get some of this stuff done, but I should be able to help you, so keep me in mind when you know what your schedule is and when you're doing things over there. Give me a heads up. I might be able to get over it, get some work or help out or, you know, whatever needs to be done. So give me a heads up and keep me in mind. But, yeah, it sounds like you got a lot going on. You said it a couple of months ago. It's going to be crazy this summer. It sure is.
Yes, sir. Yep, it's been that way. I mean, I come home for a few days and I'm out the door again doing something else. And even if I'm home, I'm not home, you know. I'm just thinking, let's see. So this VEC training, you need that for school, that's right. So with that in mind, I'm trying to think how you can best do that. You said watch the video and then, you know, play it back and do it step by step. Once you've seen the overview complete with the questions, but that takes a lot more time. Well, what you might want to do is, besides, you know, record for playback, is to start messing with it. I mean, are there specific, like, quizzes you have to take and things like that along the way, or tests that you have to prove that you're competent?
Yes, there are, and that's part of the problem is there's, like, a brief video and three questions, and a brief video and three questions. Some of the questions are stupid, and they don't make any real sense, but you have to remember they put together a system, and they have taken C+, made some things easier if you have no idea what some of the commands are that you'd be using in C+. So some of the things they talk about is like a motor controller 2.9. Well, that's actually a PWM module. So to look, I have to look up what is a motor control 2.9 and what does that mean? Well, to, like, John Q. Public, they put it together so that's easier, but for me, it would be easier if I knew of it as a, you know, PWM assembly for the servo motor. So I have to dumb down a little to learn their terminology so that I can answer the question properly. And that's part of the problem. I have to literally go through each video, write down what they want to hear, and then I'll know what to answer on the test, because they're talking about encoders and all these other things, and what they are is a potentiometer on the inside, and they call it one thing, but it's just a potentiometer, and I understand how that works, but how they define this encoder is supposed to work is very different, so I have to learn their way of thinking, and then mesh it together. I've started working with it. It's not bad. It's just being away last week, I couldn't do that and work and follow the video at the same time and have a discussion. So I'll be doing that this week. You know, pulling it apart, looking at what's going on, watch the video, write down their answers to those questions, take the quiz. You know, that's really all. I just need some time to sit alone and go through it and learn their terms. Then I'll be fine.
Yeah. Is there a way you can take screenshots or notes during the video so that this stuff becomes a little more obvious?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I downloaded the PowerPoint, so I can go to the PowerPoint and have that slide open. They have a very rehearsed script that they follow, and it's not that challenging. It's just I have to look at everything, because ultimately some of these things I'll be teaching with over this next year, so I have to really have it in my head how it's going to apply to a classroom. Going through the robot's not going to be too difficult, but going through and learning what they're trying to teach in each particular area is going to be a little bit more challenging, because they're teaching from a you-have-no-idea standpoint. Some of it is very basic, like how many degrees are in a circle and how to figure out how far something will move forward if it's rolling. You know, these are things that I unfortunately have to go through, look at where they have the PDF for that activity, take that activity. Sometimes I have to run through and actually do that activity. Just a lot of tedious stuff. So that's the part that's killing me. It's easy a 40-hour process to go through all this, let alone writing it down and making sure I'm certified on the other end of it. But it's not the end of the world. It's just a matter of I got to dive into it and start doing it.
Yeah, and August 1st is tomorrow. No pressure. Okay. Very good. I'm going to run into 7-Eleven now. I'll be back. You know, it sounds like computers dumbed down for educators, if you catch my drift. Oh, God. God help you. All right. Why do they always have to do that? I don't even think it's dumbed down. I think it's just made borrow. Why not use a real term that would be used in the world, WM or something like that? I mean, why would you want to say it's, you know, Gizmo 472? That doesn't mean jack diddly dong once you leave that world. All right, I'll be back. WTLCN, WTTTT.
All right, Gordon, I'm going to sign for a moment. I got to get some stuff done here, but I'll catch up with you. I'll be around during the day. And give me a buzz if you start to know what you need. Send a text, and I'll look for it, but... 73 for them all. 32.
Roger, roger. Take care and God bless.